Are you guys here today, or are you just like, after that worship, how can you not be here? I can be in heavenly places. I don't know about anywhere else. The worship group just did incredible this morning. God worked in you and through you. You need to know that. I think I'm going to just start differently this morning. Andre and Esna, I wonder if you could just come stand here. And Andre and Linda, I wonder if you could go stand over there. And who was the next longest marriage? Was it you guys? Huh? Can you guys come stand there? Now, guys, I don't want this to be a long thing, but I want it to happen. Everyone who's married, I want you to quickly get in front of one of these people. Quickly. Yeah. No, I'm not standing anywhere. Okay. You can come here as well if you want to. I waited for them all to go there. Come, Angelique. Okay, guys, I want you just to pray for them as a group quickly. I really believe that marriages are under attack. And I believe God has equipped us with prayer to actually break these things open. And Brandon, I want to say this morning, as you shared, you actually broke something open. And so I actually want to just capitalize on that this morning and just pray over these people. Lord. Lord, I thank you for this wonderful couple. Okay, you pray. Okay. Tian.
Oh, Jesus.
Lindy, join in. Come, let's join them. Make the darkness tremble, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble, Jesus, Jesus, silence fear, oh Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble, Jesus, Jesus, you silence fear, Jesus, Jesus. At the bottom, stop, okay. At the end, stop. Okay, you can be seated. The name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. Babes, you want to come up here? Ephesians 5:22. Okay, I want all the husbands to put their hands over their ears. Because this part, it says wives. Doesn't say husbands. Why are you doing that?
Because he asked me to.
Okay. Oh, they're both on the same...
Hello.
Hello. No, don't mess around.
Okay. So, do you want me to go?
Yeah.
Ephesians 5:22 says, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. And I know that ladies, when they hear the word submit, you sometimes get this feeling inside of you. But I want to just tell you from a testimony in my own life. As a young lady, I really struggled with submission. I came from a home where my mom, we call it, wore the pants. She was not in submission to my father. My father was quite a gentle, soft man, and my mother just told him what to do. So that's how I grew up. And when we came into a relationship, Roland and I, Roland, as you know, is a very strong leader. And so we, of course, bumped heads like you cannot believe. And when we got saved, it got worse. And when we entered into marriage, this thing of submission, I never had a revelation of what submission was. Because of the way I've been brought up and the lies of the enemy, I thought submission means that I need to lay on the floor as a carpet and Roland is to walk all over me. That's in my mind what submission was. But you know what? That is a lie of the enemy, and that is how the enemy tries to bring submission over, and it's not the truth. As you guys know, or if you don't know me yet, you will know that I am a strong personality, and I can be strong because my husband, of the way he leads me, that's why I can be strong. He never pushes me down, although I'm in submission to him. You will notice if Roland asks me to stop doing something, I will immediately stop. I don't argue with him. You know why I submit to Roland as well? Besides the fact that the word tells me to, is that I trust Roland so much. And ladies, if you don't trust your husband spiritually, if you don't trust your husband and everything in your home, in your household, with your children, you cannot submit to him. You need to trust your husband. I totally trust Roland. I trust him with our finances. I trust him in our marriage to lead us spiritually. I trust him with the decisions he makes. When Roland starts to say, I'm feeling this, Trish, like, I'm feeling we should go plant a church in Nelspruit. When he starts saying, I think we need to be moving to Benoni. I think God is calling us to Cape Town. You know what my prayer is? Lord, adjust my heart so that I can follow my husband. But at the same time, because of the way that Roland, because I trust him and the way he leads me, I know that Roland, without a doubt, lays down his life for me. I know that. And when he, because he lays down his life and he leads me like a husband should, it is so easy to submit to him. But can I say, ladies, if you have a husband that you feel is not leading you strongly, guess what? You still submit. Because the Bible says, submit to your husband. And pray for your husband. Pray that the Lord would lead him and guide him and that he would lead you strongly. Don't try and take over the position of leading, especially spiritually or in any way. Don't take over that role, but rather pray for your husband. Who prays for their husband every day? Okay, can I challenge us as ladies that we pray for our husbands every day? And that includes, I don't pray for Roland every day. Because sometimes I think, oh, he's just doing so great, I don't need to. But you know what? He needs my prayers. And then we need to pray, because submission is a heart attitude. Our hearts. You know, we can't be the one of those that are saying, I'm sitting down, but I'm standing up on the inside. That's a bad heart. God does not honor that kind of submission. God honors your heart submission. And if you struggle with submission with your husband, you need to ask the Lord to help you. And then if you feel that your husband doesn't deserve it, that's not godly. You need to pray for your husband. And it's taken me time to get to this place. But really, it's a good place to be, because your marriage, if you can be submissive to your husband, your marriage will be in a healthy place. So I don't want to hear you say, but my husband this and but my husband that. You must pray. I could preach all day.
You're right. I timed you. It was only 10 minutes. Verse 25. Now the ladies can cover their ears because it's for the husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. That can be quite expensive, but anyway, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. I prefer to love my wife's body than my own body. But husbands, if you want to be followed, you need to lead. And you need to lead in a wife-honoring way. Not just that's what I need to do. You need to, it says, cleanse her by the washing of the word. Often I sit Patty down. And I say, babes, you see what the word says here? You see what it says there? Babes, we need to adjust our lives to the word of God. It's easy for me because I have a wife that submits to me, except when I tell her to make the coffee. No, that's actually not true. She makes the coffee. When we first got married, we used to have this argument every time we had visitors. It was actually quite embarrassing. We'd fight about who's going to make the coffee in front of the visitors. They sitting there and we, you make the coffee. No, you make the coffee. We don't have that anymore. She makes the coffee and she washes the cups. No more negotiating. Guys, you know what? If you're not married yet, you must discuss these things. Otherwise, you get into something that actually you can't sustain. And if you're both not prepared to change, then you are going to have a struggle. Patty was difficult to lead when we first got married, and I was a leader, but not a good spiritual leader. She got saved about a year before me. And so she used to pray and read her Bible. I used to just want to chase her around the house. That's okay, but not all the time. I was just trying to love her body. Oh, I can't help it, you've got such a nice body. Okay, is there anyone here that still lives in the house with mom and dad? Okay, this is for you. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. Stephen has to live by this, so he's still staying at home. But hey, guys, it says here, this is the first commandment with a promise. But Stephen, I've got one for your dad now. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. I don't want to go too far into that, but folk, we need to train up our children in the ways of God. There's no other way to do it. Our children have to have direction in their life, and sometimes they go off the direction and we need to redirect them. But it was a whole lot easier while my boys were in the house because they were a whole lot smaller than Stephen. When they started to get bigger than me, I actually kicked them out the house. Because I heard this thing that if you show your kids that you are strong when they're still small, so they're small, you throw them in the air and you hang them by a leg. And if you watch me, I do it to my grandchildren all the time. If you do that when they're small, as they get older, they don't forget that. They actually remember that actually you're tougher than them. It's an amazing thing. And I saw that because all three of my boys are bigger than I am. But we've heard of instances where sons have hit their father or something. My boys, if they look at me skiff, they know they're in trouble. And they have never responded in aggression to me, never ever, even to Patty. And so they have been a real blessing in our life. But why I'm speaking about this is I believe that to have authentic church, which is the values that we live out, is authentic church, authentic Christianity. It's real. It's not we come here on Sunday and we look a certain way and then we go home and we act a different way. Like Brandon was talking about, him and Cheryl Lee, when they came to Ed and Di's house, and I wasn't there every time, but I was there on a fairly regular occasion, they were open and we could help them. And I tell you, they are such a blessing to me. I want to cry when Brandon was talking, I wanted to cry. And then Pierre, the guy that did the announcement, he was another one of our rescue acts. When I saw him, I wanted to cry again. I don't want to give his testimony because I don't know if he's given it publicly, but that's his testimony. It was an incredible thing. Okay, and so authentic Christianity speaks about godly families, godly marriages, godly children. And if you're sitting here today and your spouse is not saved, don't despair. The word says that as we live as children of God, so our spouse will be influenced and impacted. That's why we need to live in a way that honors God. Every time you blow it, it's almost like back to zero. Start again. Back to zero. But if you can build momentum and get to a place where your husband or your wife thinks, wow, there's something different here. Otherwise, if you blow it, back to zero. And we struggle to understand the back to zero thing. Oh, how come on? No. Back to zero. Even in a Christian marriage, it's like that. Our first 5 years of marriage was back to zero on a daily basis, I think. We had so many arguments, it was unbelievable. Eventually, the pastor rocked up at the front door. And, of course, I was leading a community, and I was like, I had this serious big job with a double-story house and all sorts of stuff. And I, like, on the outside, I was, like, really doing well, spiritually, physically. What else is there? Something else. Emotionally, yeah. And so he knocked on the door one day and he said, hey, Roland, I need to help you guys. Your oak's in a bad place. I said, what do you mean I'm in a bad place? We're in a good place. And for a year, I had to go to coffee with him at whatever time I finished. And Patty only had to go 6 months. Wasn't fair. She was allowed off after 6 months. But she got panel beaten. You know what? I love those people still today. They had such an impact upon my life. If you're struggling in your marriage, just take from this morning and say, hey, Lord, I need your help. I need your help. Christianity is zero without authentic families. Because that's where it starts. It starts with a family and then a community and then a congregation and then a church. We can't just jump any part of that process. Community is friendship, not just function. So I can't just be your pastor. I must be your friend. And I try to the best of my ability, but sometimes people say, oh, but you're so busy. No, that's not true. Patty's got a diary. We'll sit down, we'll put a date, and we'll see you, or we'll come and see you. Eventually, I got tired in this church of not being invited into people's houses. So I started to invite myself into their house. But only after I asked. Guys, you know what? Christianity is not Sunday, Wednesday. No, it's living life together. It's spending time together. You know, if you're single and you think, oh, no, I can't. How am I supposed to go and spend time with a married couple? You know what? There's more than one single in this place. Grab one of them that's your closest friend and say, come, we're going to go and visit Patty and Roland, two of us. Make a plan. Break bread together. Not just in community, in family. In family and when friends are together. In Benoni, we went through a whole thing, and I've been thinking maybe we need to do it here, where we put a chart up, and where everyone wanted to break bread, they put their name. So like 7 o'clock Tuesday and 7 o'clock Wednesday. And then we didn't put the elder's name down. And then we just went along and we just put the elder's name. Okay, this elder's coming there, this elder's coming there, this elder's coming there. And so every single person got visited and broken bread with them. Of course, breaking bread is, it opens an opportunity for ministry into someone's life. You know what? People begin to share things with you that they wouldn't share with you at church. In their own house, they'll share stuff with you. Because they're secure there. They're comfortable to share things there. Have coffee together. Build bridges. Build covenantal relationships. I know there are one or two here. I think Justine and Penny are probably really good friends. There's only one way out of a covenantal relationship. That's in a box. It's called a coffin. But guys, we need to build those things. Please, not Sunday, Wednesday. Friday night and Monday night and Tuesday, Thursday, every other night. And it doesn't have to be an expensive thing that happens. You can put your food together, what you would normally have on that night, and have a meal together. Otherwise, it can become expensive. But don't allow that to stop you from spending time together. Acts 2 and verse 42 to 47. I think this is Josh Jen's biggest scripture. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. So next week, Will Murray is coming here. We need to be devoted to what he's going to come and minister on. We need to devote ourselves to that thing. Maybe we should phone Durbanville and ask them for next gen workers. I'm serious. We need to do something. Everyone needs to hear that message. Because I believe Will's coming here not by chance, but he's coming here because God wants him here. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together, see that, day by day. Every day. I'm not saying you have to do it every day. Attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes. So they were doing both of those things day by day. They received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Do you know why they did the selling of possessions? If you back up, you see that 3,000 were saved. Those 3,000 had all traveled there to come to like a census type thing. And so when they got saved, they didn't want to go home. They wanted to hear the teaching of what the apostles were doing and what was happening. So they had nothing. And so the disciples or those that had been saved that stayed in Jerusalem sold stuff so that they could actually help those guys financially. Community. Guys, if you are in a community, if you're not, get into one. If you are, be faithful. Be faithful. Don't decide that, okay, once a month I'm going to miss on a Wednesday night. Be courteous and let your leader know. Because Taryn lets you know if he's not going to be there. Love one another. You know what I said to Patty? We were watching a series and somebody said, oh, I love you. It was a little girl to another little girl. I said, you know what? The world so easily uses I love you. Do they know what I love you means? Show compassion. Hey, if you know that somebody's going through a difficult time, come alongside them, help them, walk with them. So often we go like, oh, I hope somebody else sees that. No, let's not be like that. Let's be, okay, I'll be first. I'll do it first. Who knows that Esna's going for an operation on Tuesday? So what does that mean? A meal or two would be good. Andre needs to eat. So does Esna need to eat. But really, guys, afterwards, come here and say to Esna, hey, listen, can we make you a meal on this night? When you've had an operation, she's having an operation on her knees. She's not going to be able to walk. So she's definitely not going to be able to do work in the kitchen. So come on. You know what? They don't have to have roast every night and give them boerewors rolls. Can you talk to Patty if you're going to? So there's some sort of... I remember we were in Durbanville and I was in hospital and Patty was in hospital. We had about a month of food. But eventually, like, pasta for 2 weeks in a row was a bit hectic. Especially as I don't really like pasta. I'll eat it if it's put it in front of me, but it's not my favorite thing. I don't mind if it's there, I'll eat it. But as I say, it's for 2 weeks, it's a bit hectic. Serve one another. You know, if someone's car breaks down, or don't just, oh, Andrew will do that. No. It's our responsibility. So often we like designate in our mind a person for a sort of job. And then we just, whenever that happens, we give them that job. No, we must be prepared to serve in every area of our lives. Support one another. Be accountable. Submit to your leaders. You know what, guys? Please make yourself easy to lead. Make it easy for us to lead you. We need to be led by the Holy Spirit, not by our senses. Hebrews 13 and verse 17 says, have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority because they keep watch over those who must give an account. Do this so that their work will be a joy and not a burden, for that would be of no benefit to you. I must admit, when the meeting finishes, I normally look for the joys and run away from the burdens. If you want us to give our best for you, you need to be those that are a joy to lead. Hey, do you mind doing that? Yes, of course. Woo. Can you spend an extra 15 minutes being the security guard? Yes. Because the week before, someone couldn't get in, nearly had to climb over the fence. Something that's authentic Christianity is to see people come into a relationship with Jesus Christ. The king and the kingdom. Every king needs subjects. We are subjects in the kingdom of God. Radical converts. Do you know what a radical convert is? Do you know what a freak is? A freak is somebody that loves Jesus more than you. We need to be those that walk in obedience to God's word. When we read something, we need to believe it and begin to act out on it. And when people come into a relationship with the Lord, this is for me sometimes one of the most scariest things. If someone gives their life to the Lord or recommits their life or whatever the case may be, and then nobody walks with them. No one says, hey, come, let's look at the Bible. Let's begin to read the Bible and see certain things in the Word of God. And if you are one of those that has recently given your life to the Lord, get somebody and say, listen, I need you to walk with me. We need to come from both sides of that thing. Or if there's enough of you, we need to run a foundations course so that people know what's going on. Okay, who's you going to play the piano, or you? I wonder if we could just close our, bow our heads and close our eyes. I must admit, it's been funny ministering today because there was such an anointing on the worship. And so there's an anointing. There's the presence of the Lord, yeah. And I don't believe that the Lord comes like that for no reason. So 35 years ago, I ran out of the church hall with the pastor's wife chasing after me. That was the day that I gave my life to the Lord. I can remember it like it was just the other day. It's very clear in my mind. And so as we're sitting here this morning, I want to ask you, can you remember the day that you gave your life to Jesus Christ? Is it clear in your mind? Or is it like, not really? Because I want to give you an opportunity this morning to allow Jesus to become your King and your Savior.